Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, over in Germany, a major science conference, Future Insight Conference in Darmstadt, Germany. And there is a session about the greatest discoveries of the last few years and looking forward to the greatest discoveries of the next decade. And a question that we proposed from Real Science Radio was presented to a NASA scientist. So I'd like to read to you that question, and then also we'll hear the response from a Dr. Mary Wojtek. She's what's called an astrobiologist. On the panel, there were extraordinary scientists, from physicists and biologists, molecular biologists, to computer scientists, from artificial intelligence to solving the world's energy problems. It really was a fascinating panel, but the discussion of astrobiology, basically the biology of aliens. I don't mean illegal aliens. If they studied illegal aliens, then there's a lot to study. But if you're going to study the biology of aliens, actual aliens from outer space or alien species, there's not much to study, so they are theoretical about it, which conceptually is perfectly fine, except that this is an area of study that's not needed because there are no alien races. They don't exist. And when NASA presents, like they've done, they have a recent video out, Alien Ocean, about NASA's mission to Europa, one of the major four moons orbiting Jupiter. It's the smallest of the four. And in that video, they point out that there's water on Europa, and they say, so it's a likely place for life to have originated. So their implication there, and they repeat this literally, the secular science community repeats this 1,000 times over every year, is that water is an asset to the natural origin of life. If you have water, you're going to have life originate, because water and the action of water, liquid water in particular, provides the physical mechanism by which atoms and molecules can be assembled into the organelles and eventually the cells of living organisms. So that's what they claim. However, when you look into the details, as with all of the natural origins hypotheses presented by the secular world, they fall apart. And this one in particular doesn't hold water. So 2 months ago here at Real Science Radio, we registered to participate over the internet in this conference. As I said, it's occurring today over in Darmstadt, Germany, the Future Insight Conference. And this one particular panel, a two-hour session, was hosted by Science Magazine. You know the journal Science, the world's second leading science journal after the journal Nature. And so their news editor, his name is Tim Appenzeller. Tim Appenzeller is the one who moderated this panel. And the scientists involved, they're all at the top of their fields. They're all extraordinary. But then there's an astrobiologist who studies, theorizes about the biology of aliens and alien life forms from a bacteria, a virus-like thing and up. And this is Dr. Mary Wojtek. And so the question that we submitted today during the conference was selected and read to Dr. Wojtek by the moderator. So I want to share with you that question, and then it's brief. We'll get the audio from Dr. Wojtek. But this is typically a Real Science Radio segment, right? Normally, this is what we would deal with on Fridays with Fred Williams. This coming Friday, we're supposed to talk about the volcano, the eruption in Hawaii, and the hotspot hypothesis of how the Hawaiian Islands formed over a period of millions of years with a magma plume allegedly rising up from the outer core of the Earth through the mantle, and it stays stationary under the moving crustal plates. And where it breaks through, it's forming this linear chain of islands as the plates are moving and the hot spot remains where it is. Then allegedly, that's how the Hawaiian Islands formed over a period of millions of years. We're going to rebut that claim, Fred Williams and I. We had announced that that's this Friday's plan for the show. However, this might preempt that and push that back a week, because this is somewhat significant. Millions of dollars have gone into this conference. In fact, it's sponsored by Merck, the pharmaceutical giant, and the AAAS, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and Science Magazine. I mean, these are the world's heavy hitters for science. And they have this two-hour session about what the future of science, where it's headed. And so at RSR, our goal is to get the challenges to the secular view, to show that the secular view is not valid and their claims fall apart upon inspection. Any scientific rigor applied to the claims of naturalistic origins, materialist origins, and their claims fall apart, so much so that they don't even have a theory of origins. And if you doubt that, just look at our website, kgov.com/atheism, and you'll see. And I presented this in California at Pepperdine University, our trading Genesis. When you trade away Genesis, you're left with nothing. And in fact, we go through their various claimed hypotheses for origins, and we showed that as a general theme, each one begins with the thing that it's supposedly describing. Like the general public thinks that Charles Darwin's Origin of Species explains the origin of species. That's what they think. The public thinks that. I mean, why would they think that? The book is titled Origin of Species. And Darwin took advantage of a quirk in the English language for the word species, where species is singular and plural. And so it was a PR move. It was a marketing move to get the general public to think that secular scientists had figured out the origin of species. But of course, Darwin's theory begins with species already in existence. And we go through and we show that this is generally true, that it's the trend of secular science, even with the origin of the universe, now it's the multiverse. Just like with species, begins with species already in existence. The origin of stars typically begin with an exploding star. The origin of the universe today, it's almost required, if you're a working cosmologist, you're almost required to believe in the multiverse, that there's an infinite number of pre-existing universes that are then birthing other universes. So this is the trend, and it's become the trend because they realize that they don't have an answer for the actual origin, for example, of genes within neo-Darwinism, genetics, the modern synthesis it's called. To explain the origin of genes, they begin with genes already in existence. And so when you look at the very origin of, let's say, biological life, well, then what NASA does, and not only NASA, the Discovery Channel, the BBC, Nova, they all do it. Discover Magazine, Scientific American, the science journals, they all do it for public consumption. They say, if you have water somewhere in space, if you have water, then there is a reasonable chance that life would evolve, because they want you to think that water is the asset. It is the answer to explain how atoms, inanimate atoms, can come together and form prebiotic materials and then eventually living organisms. Well, the problem is that water is the enemy. It's not the asset to what's called abiogenesis, life, biological life, originating by a natural mechanism from atoms and molecules. Well, here's the question. Once the panel today started and NASA's astrobiologist, Dr. Mary Wojtek, gave her three-minute opening statement, I then submitted this question over the internet, and I'll read it to you, and then we'll get Mary's response. And so here it is. And in fact, if you go to our website right now, kgov.com, just look at the homepage, you'll see a screenshot of Mary answering the question. You see the panel there. And also, you'll see the question in the screenshot. You've got the science, AAAS, Merck-sponsored session moderated by the news editor for Science Magazine. And he asks this question as I submitted it, and it says on the screen, current question to Dr. Wojtek. Rather than an asset, isn't water the enemy of prebiotic molecules? It's the universal solvent. And outside of a living organism, water dissolves life's building blocks, including amino acids, sugars like RNA and DNA, various kinds of carbohydrates, and other polymers. Shouldn't this chemical challenge be more openly acknowledged in astrobiology? So we've been working at this, Fred Williams and I, for the last 3 years at least, where we've been trying to get not only the creation community and the intelligent design community, but also the mainstream scientific community to acknowledge this problem, because this attacks their answer at the very beginning when they first opened their mouth to explain how life could arise apart from a creator. The first word out of their mouths is water. That's the first word. And every documentary produced, every popular article, they all lay out the claim that water will do it. Water will do it. So that's the question. So let's hear the moderator ask Dr. Wojtek the question and then her answer, which is not very long. Obviously it's a question that maybe somebody might not understand immediately. You'd think if this is your specialty, you are an astrobiologist working for NASA, that this should be at the forefront of your thinking and it should be immediately understood. But the moderator then explains the question to Dr. Wojtek, and then she answers, and I'm thankful she does admit that, well, of course, if this were to happen, if life were to arise from inanimate materials, then in whatever way water is involved, the process then would have to include dehydration. Dehydration, that's the removal of the water. You'd have to get rid of the water. And that's the problem that they pretty much never acknowledge. And then Mary also doesn't acknowledge that they avoid discussing this problem. She tries to downplay the claim, which the moderator then does sort of spell out separately, telling Mary, this questioner, an independent science reporter, is claiming that this is not acknowledged in this field. So let's hear this.
And I'd like to ask one that is from Bob, an independent science reporter. And the question is, rather than an asset, isn't water the enemy of prebiotic molecules? And outside of a living organism, it dissolves life's building blocks like amino acids, sugars like RNA and DNA, various kinds of carbohydrates and other polymers. Shouldn't this chemical challenge be more openly acknowledged in astrobiology? I guess this assumes it's not acknowledged, but what do you say?
I think it's acknowledged. I think that's one of the biggest challenges we have, is understanding the evolution from simple compounds that can be made abiotically towards more organized and more highly functional biomolecules that are important for life. So I guess I don't understand.
And so water is a challenge, how these molecules survive.
Because of water? Sorry, yes. I guess I didn't get it.
Well, I think the question is, it posits that water is a challenge because it attacks the various molecules involved.
So in some of the prebiotic things, this is something that people think about. Hydration and dehydration reactions are really important in prebiotic chemistry. And so postulating that life could evolve when there is no opportunity for an environmental separation to allow dehydration reactions actually is a problem, and people do address that. And whether it's, you know, you need a continent, which some people, you know, life couldn't evolve until we had land so we could get away from the water, or there's other ways to separate it. There can be phase separation with ice and water. There can be a variety of other ways that you can get dehydration reactions. And so I think that is very important and recognized.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got a thumbs up on this effort to publicize to the general scientific community that this is not a solution, this is part of the problem. We got a thumbs up on that today already from Dr. Stephen Meyer. You might recognize his name. He is a leading intelligent design proponent. His books on intelligent design, The Need for Intelligence to Explain Biological Life, they become New York Times bestsellers. They get reviewed in the world's leading science journals. Typically, they're reviewed, like on Amazon.com, by famous evolutionists who've not read his books. That's typical and that's documented. You could see that they have not read his books. In fact, I think it was with his Darwin's Doubt when he came on this show, and then we had him back on, if I recall, to talk about some of the reviews of that particular book written. In fact, one by a big-name evolutionist was published within 12 hours of when the book was available nationwide. And he wrote this massive review, like, you know, maybe a 10-page review. The book is 400 pages. So to read a 400-page technical book and then to write a 10-page review all within 12 hours, and when he was defending himself saying, no, I'm just really fast reader and writer. And people ask, well, you were at work. You had a full work day. How did you do this when you had a full work day? He said, well, I did it during my breaks. So anyway, there, you know, so many. When you deny that God exists, then there is no ultimate reason to be truthful. There's no ultimate reason for morality. And of course, science is vulnerable to dishonesty. When researchers are dishonest, that makes things rough. So Stephen Meyer gave a big thumbs up already today to us getting this problem acknowledged at basically the highest echelons of the secular scientific world today, Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. And I have, in my life of paying attention to science and science news, which for me began when I was in grammar school. We didn't call it elementary school in New Jersey. I went to 8 years at Catholic grammar school where they taught us evolution. That's the model that the Vatican accepts, the Big Bang and evolution. And I've been interested, fascinated by science and a voracious consumer of scientific material my entire life. And outside of two major films released in the last year, one, if I recall, one by the Intelligent Design Movement and the other by the Creation Movement, which both, and we're so thankful, we talked to David Coppedge about this because he is a longtime friend of Bob and Yurt Live, Real Science Radio, and he was formerly with NASA and involved in the Cassini space mission. He was a team lead for the ground systems that managed that successful, wildly successful mission to Saturn. In fact, even this week, that mission is making science headlines, even this very week, with the organic compounds they found erupting from Saturn's moon Enceladus. So David Coppedge and I, we have discussed how do we promote this, promote the fact that water is not the answer, water is the challenge. And this is typical in the secular community. I'll give you an example from the debate between Bill Nye, the science guy, the alleged science guy, and Ken Ham, the founder of the Creation Museum over at Answers in Genesis. They had this amazing debate. About 5 million people watched the debate online. It was one of the larger online events in the history of the internet up to that point. And Bill Nye brought up the issue of sexual reproduction, that organisms, when they reproduce, of course, there is asexual reproduction where a bacterium will simply divide. I shouldn't say simply, it's wildly complex. But the organism divides, and that's how it reproduces. Well, then some organisms, including many plants and trees, reproduce by sexual reproduction, where you have male and female gametes that come together, and then you have the extraordinarily beneficial, biologically beneficial, mechanism of sexual reproduction. Many of the world's leading evolutionists have written that, including Richard Dawkins, that when you try to come up with an evolutionary explanation for sexual reproduction, it is mind-bogglingly difficult because everything about the theory suggests that sexual reproduction would never originate, and how it could originate is a deep mystery not solved by evolutionists. So, like water with a biogenesis, water is the problem that a biogenesis would have to solve. It's not the solution. So in that debate, Bill Nye did the kind of thing that Bill Nye frequently does. He takes one of the biggest problems that evolution cannot answer, and their leaders acknowledge they have no answer for, and he says, look at sexual reproduction. Look at the proof for the theory of evolution just from sexual reproduction. It's this astounding evidence for the truth of Charles Darwin's theory. I would say that he was flat out lying, except I'm just not sure that he's smart enough to know that he was wrong. I don't know, because stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. Sin makes you stupid, and he may simply not have honed his intellectual abilities sufficiently enough to understand what is a problem versus what is an asset, to understand what is a hindrance to what is an asset. He may not understand that difference when it comes to evolution. He gets all weak-kneed and confused. So I would like us to play that audio again, the question, and then Mary Wojtek's answer. And this time we'll stop the tape a bit and discuss it.
And I'd like to ask one that is from Bob, an independent science reporter. And the question is, rather than an asset, isn't water the enemy of prebiotic molecules? And outside of a living organism are dissolved life's building blocks like amino acids, sugars like RNA and DNA, various kinds of carbohydrates and other polymers. Shouldn't this chemical challenge be more openly acknowledged in astrobiology? I guess this assumes it's not acknowledged, but what do you say?
Stop the tape. Okay, of course, I appreciate Tim Appenzeller asking the question, that the question was selected from a worldwide audience and from the audience there in the auditorium. And I'm glad that he pointed out that the question assumes that this is not openly acknowledged. Our abiogenesis information on our website, if you go to rsr.org/abiogenesis, you'll see everything you need when this topic comes up, when you're talking with an atheist, an unbeliever, an old earther, a Big Bang supporting Christian, whoever. And they bring up, well, there's water on Mars. There's water out in the solar system. There's very possibly water throughout the universe. And if there's water, you'll have life. When they bring that up, all this information is right there, simple to understand and to let them know that what they think is the answer is actually the problem. What they think is the answer is actually the problem. And at rsr.org/abiogenesis, we embed NASA's video called Alien Ocean, NASA's mission to Europa. And in this video, they say, they come right out and say that Europa is a great place to search for the evidence that life originated there because there's water on Europa. It's an alien ocean. So let's go to Mary's response.
What do you say?
I think it's acknowledged.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Okay, Mary, it's not acknowledged. It is not acknowledged. Certainly, you guys, when you put together Alien Ocean, NASA's mission to Europa, you didn't acknowledge it. You implied that the problem is the answer. And you imply that everywhere and only. You only imply that if there is water, or you come right out and say, if there's water, that's the place to look for the origin of life. You only imply that it's the answer. You never acknowledge that it is the problem. And in the question, I realize it's hard to process a question when you're hearing it live, but the question is, isn't water the enemy of prebiotic molecules? And shouldn't that chemical challenge be more openly acknowledged in astrobiology? It is not openly acknowledged ever. That's my assertion here. Have I consumed all science reporting around the world in every language? No, I have not. Have I heard a tremendous amount of science reporting in over 40 years? I'm almost 60 years old, so let's give it 45 years of carefully consuming scientific text, papers, documentaries, books, conferences, panel discussions. It has never been presented, never, Mary. So you don't openly acknowledge this. So your first immediate reaction that, yes, we acknowledge it, is not true. Within your inner sanctum, you guys discuss it, sure, because you recognize it's the problem, but it's the problem you don't let the public in on. Let's continue.
I'm not exactly, I think that's one of the biggest challenges we have, is understanding the evolution from simple compounds that can be made abiotically towards more organized and more highly functional biomolecules that are important for life. So I guess I don't understand.
And so water is a challenge, how these molecules survive.
Because of water? Sorry, yes. I guess I didn't get
it. Well, I think the question is, it posits that water is a challenge for, because it attacks.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Okay, yes. And Tim Appenzeller, I'm glad he got the question. People don't always get the question. I'm glad he got the question. No one in the audience there, no one on that panel was aware that water is the problem that a biogenesis would have to solve. They all thought that water is the answer. And apart from God, there is no answer. Everything is only a problem because he's the foundation of reality. May God bless you.